Welcome to WRHU's One-on-One Stories. For the next 30 minutes, our host, Dr. Gregory Barroza, will talk with influential and inspirational guests. One-on-One Stories explores all areas of life and lifestyles affected by health, fitness, nutrition, medicine, mental attitude, and general well-being. Our guests discussed unique aspects of their lives and work, including current, controversial, and offbeat subjects of interest to all of us. It's One-on-One Stories with Dr. Gregory Barroza.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ear. I got a bad case of loving you.
Welcome to One-on-One Stories. I'm Dr. Gregory Barroza. We're here on WRHU 88.7 FM. We welcome our very special guest, Kevin Wesley. Kevin is an accomplished DJ, expert in Irish dance and Irish music.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Our show today is a little bit of a controversial topic, and it's about the introduction of using medical marijuana in New York State. It is now become effective in 2014. We're almost going on a two-year anniversary. What caused you to have a strong opinion about the use of medical marijuana?
Well, I advocate not just for medical marijuana, but also for recreational marijuana. When I was in college and for years after that, I used to smoke marijuana. And to me, I don't see any difference between having a joint and having a beer. They're both recreational drugs. But for some reason, there is this public opinion that people just think that marijuana is the worst thing that ever happened to the universe. So on my Facebook page, anytime I come across a video that talks about something that marijuana will cure or help someone who has got a disease, I always share it and let people, hopefully, they'll watch it and learn the truth.
I must first introduce the fact that this is a radio station, and this is not the opinion of the radio station, anything we discuss here, but my job is to explore interesting and unique and controversial subjects, and this is certainly one of them. It was controversial for years, and obviously there was a need to introduce medical marijuana use in New York State because that's happened. For those of you that aren't aware of that, it is by strict restriction. There are approximately 7,000 patients in New York State now that take advantage of this new law, and there's over 600 doctors that are officially registered to do this. And in New York State, it's not by inhalation. It's not a smoked product. It's oral. It's a syrup or some other lozenger that patients use. I'm also not new to the era of marijuana, drugs, etc., going back to my University of Miami days in the early 70s. And I saw a lot of abuse of the marijuana and other drugs. I personally am not in favor of using it recreationally, but I'm certainly open to hearing all points of view. So why do you think it's safe to use this medical marijuana? And what conditions do you know about, Kevin, that this actually can help?
I'll just go through a partial list: glaucoma, Alzheimer's, hepatitis C, diabetes, osteoporosis, rheumatoid arthritis, GI disorder, sleep apnea, hypertension, HIV, Tourette's syndrome, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis. And the list just goes on and on and on. One of the issues is that the government claims that they will not take it off a class one substance because there isn't enough proof. There aren't enough studies. But it's a catch-22. Because it's on the list as the number one drug, you can get into a lot of trouble buying it to do studies. You can get locked up.
This is an extremely interesting area. For some of you who may be listening in and say, my God, I don't even want to hear about this, it's here. It's in your backyard. And even though you may not want to necessarily hear about it, I have relatives that I know of that have been prescribed medical marijuana because nothing seems to help them in that condition. I know several people in that category. It is very strictly regulated. Interesting, Kevin listed a bunch of conditions for which this may be helpful, and they all truly may be helpful, but it's only officially recognized in New York State for 15 conditions. I'll actually list them. Some cancers, HIV/AIDS, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, I'm sorry, not Alzheimer's, ALS, Parkinson's, MS, spinal injury, epilepsy, irritable bowel disease, neuropathy, Huntington's disease, cachexia, which is muscle wasting for patients that sometimes cancer and sometimes other maladies, excruciating or severe pain, severe nausea, severe seizures, and muscle spasms. There have been attempts to introduce it in New York State for post-traumatic stress disorders, for Alzheimer's, muscular dystrophy, dystonia, neuromuscular abnormalities, and rheumatoid arthritis. And interestingly enough, it has not passed for those conditions. Having said that, doctors do have a little bit of latitude for severe painful conditions, and one may overlap a little bit, but there is an effort to introduce it for more and more conditions, which I'm sure you're in favor of, Kevin.
Absolutely. In the last 10 years, almost $900 million has been spent by lobbyists to keep marijuana on the category of a number one drug. And who's lobbying against this? Well, number one, the drug companies, because they would take a tremendous loss in income if people started taking this for all of the different items that we were talking about. Alcohol companies are lobbying against the use of marijuana. Private prisons are lobbying against. And one thing which I was surprised, police unions are also lobbying against making it available.
Why the police unions?
I'm only guessing that with the private prisons, that apparently provides jobs to the police, to man the prisons. Just today in the paper, there was a case, I think it was in Pennsylvania, two judges are being indicted because they took bribes to lock up young offenders. So the money is all over the place. It's a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah, I know that there's a effort to deprivatize some of these prisons. They thought at first this would be great because it's one less expense for the government. However, what often this leads to is companies competing for profit to have reasons to fill these jails, and they can't fill them with enough prisoners. And anyway, it's very interesting. Today's discussion is not meant to go into heavy detail about all the ins and outs of some of the legislative aspects of marijuana. However, I must say that I've already spoken to one guest, and it will be available for hearing at some future date. The actual licensing procedure, the growing of it, the reasons that it's in favor, the reasons it's out of favor, it's a tremendously complex subject. It's not simple. And you're right, there's a lot of people lobbying against it. And as we've been reminded in political discussions, follow the money.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other issue that I have is that the public just has this sense that marijuana is just the devil's weed. And it's the gateway drug to all other problems and things like that. And that just isn't true. I mean, if you look at studies, they tell you that smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol is probably the biggest gateway to heavier use. And as you probably are aware, right now there's a heroin outbreak here on Long Island. Friends of mine, their 40-year-old son was found dead a couple of months ago in his apartment because of a heroin overdose. The other thing, too, is, can you imagine, first of all, in the states where it is legal for recreational use, the tax revenue has just absolutely skyrocketed. $700,000 industry in Colorado alone. Can you imagine $700 million? I'm sorry, did I say that? That's $700 million coming out of the drug cartel, where you don't have to go to the street corner and try and buy some marijuana, and then it goes wherever, South America or Mexico, to the cartels down there. So Washington is a symbol. I don't have any statistics on Washington, but Oregon, who just recently approved it, their marijuana sales have dwarfed Colorado and Washington. So you've got all this tax revenue, and it should be regulated just like alcohol. No one under 21 should be legally allowed to buy it, you know, that type of thing. You shouldn't be able to drive while you're under the influence of marijuana, just like you're not supposed to drive while you're legally drunk, you know, that type of thing.
I'm listening to all your theories, and I'm sensitive to each and every one of them. Do you think that the use of marijuana is also combined with alcohol by some people? And
oh, absolutely.
And is that not one more drug or medication that for a person with the appropriate personality profile, maybe a dependency of some sort, that might not give them one more tool to getting addicted?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But I'm also advocating that it should be used instead of alcohol or even light alcohol use. Years ago, we didn't know very much about alcohol. Today, for example, when I go to a party, I'll have one or two, three beers right away, but then I won't drink for the rest of the night. Your body can process one bottle of beer an hour and still keep you under the 0.08 limit of being legally drunk. So, yeah, I'm sure there are people that are going to combine it with alcohol. That's their choice.
Interesting. I don't want to go too heavy into these details, but in the other segments with another guest that I have, we do go into this much more deeply. But Colorado, being one of the lead states, has come out with some statistics looking retrospectively, and the traffic deaths have gone up significantly since the introduction of marijuana there. So too have the hospital admissions for all sorts of problems. Now, statistics can read like anything, but there is a little bit of a blowback here.
Absolutely. It should be regulated just like alcohol. If you get behind the wheel and you're stoned, you should get locked up, just like you would get a DWI.
And is this more difficult for a police officer to figure out if someone is stoned versus
apparently,
inebriated?
Well, the technology is advancing every day. I read something about a week ago where now they have a breathalyzer that can pick up whether or not you're stoned on marijuana.
Interesting. Well, having lived back in the immediate post-Woodstock era with the Cheech and Chong albums and all this kind of stuff going on, I personally witnessed a lot of cars driving around Miami Beach with the windows that were fogged up and people having a blasting good time.
Yeah.
It would always appear to be dangerous to me. I kind of steered away from it. But I think I was an exception, not the rule, to the college days back then.
Possibly. I came across another statistic recently, which I was absolutely stunned by. Every year, there are 70,000 alcohol-related deaths, whether it be drunken driving, cirrhosis, whatever. I have not read one incident of someone overdosing on marijuana. Not one.
You see, that part I would agree with you. Most of the time, people just pass out.
Yeah.
They pass out. We just hope they're not driving when they decide to
pass out.
They mellow out. But again, part of another show will be there's actually, I've learned this more as a student, but there's two types of marijuana, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them makes you a little bit more mellow, and the other one sort of makes you feel a little bit better. And I'm not quite sure of how you differentiate those two, but there are people that are experts in it.
I want to remind our friends that you are listening to One-on-One Stories with your host, Dr. Gregory Barroza. Our guest today is Kevin Wesley. Kevin is a certified Irish dance instructor, an Irish singer, and an Irish DJ. He is discussing with us today his belief in the decriminalization of all uses for marijuana. You are listening to WRHU 88.7 FM, Radio Hofstra University.
Well, there are all sorts of strains of marijuana. One thing I just found out also recently is that people in Washington, are coming up with infections because of smoking marijuana. Internal
gastrointestinal, Kevin.
Yes, thank you very much, Doc. Apparently, that's something that they're trying to get a handle on in the state of Washington.
Very interesting. That's the first I've heard of this.
Yeah, about 10% of the population that do smoke come up with this issue.
Just for the sake of the audience here, the two types are sativa and indica, and sativa is more of a uplifting and energetic feeling, and indica is more relaxing and calming. And for those of you that are really aficionados, unlike me, one is considered more of a day type of marijuana, and the other is an evening type of marijuana. And I actually know people that look at this like wine, and they can tell you the various types and the aromas and the feelings. I think that's carrying it way too far. But there is a segment of this population which appreciates all those kinds of different styles.
Right, right. Now, another thing that I'd like to bring up is, on a related topic, is hemp. Hemp has none of the hallucinogenic properties that marijuana has, but yet it's against the law to grow hemp.
Right.
And hemp is four times more productive than trees are. Plus, you can harvest it, I think it's every 60 days or something like that. So that I don't understand at all. I can't understand it. There was a Native American tribe years ago. They decided to earn some money. They were going to grow hemp. You can make paper out of it. You can make rope out of it. All kinds of things you can do with it. A couple of days before they were about to harvest, the federal troops came in, and they just burned the entire crop. And this is a sovereign nation we're talking about. They came onto their reservation. So that I don't understand whatsoever. But it's all lumped in with marijuana.
It's interesting. Depends how you analyze this. But hemp is marijuana. It's a form of marijuana.
It's a form, but it doesn't have the THC as the...
Yes.
Yes.
You know, there's genus and species in every part of the planet in the genetic animal kingdom. And it's one of the varieties. Interestingly enough, the marijuana that is smoked and harvested for the THC properties is primarily the female plant.
Mm-hmm.
And the female plant has the buds, and the buds supposedly have all the resin. And that can go up to over 20% THC. Again, for the aficionados out there, that I guess it's like alcohol content in booze,
right.
Whether it's 2 or 3% or it's 15%, the same thing with the THC. The hemp is anything under 3%, mm-hmm. and it's usually the male plant.
Mm-hmm.
And they use that. You're absolutely right on about they use it in the clothing industry for weaving and for making products. Perhaps some of us even have it and don't even realize it's been used in the manufacture. We're allowed to import it in as a finished product, but we're not allowed to grow it here.
Right. But can you imagine the ecological implications of growing something that's much more? It can do four times more than a tree. I mean, that's amazing. That's stunning. And yet it's illegal to grow it. I don't get it.
I think everyone's afraid of it, and for the regulatory issues that it would provide. I mean, how are you going to know if someone's got a field of THC marijuana
well, right.
growing
Absolutely.
In their backyard versus non-THC
Absolutely.
Or low-THC hemp?
Absolutely.
From what I'm hearing, some of the various companies make creams and ointments that can be applied on the skin and situations like that where it's more of a local medicinal. And I believe some of the people are even using hemp to try to bring those products to market because they're using a low percent, like less than 3%, just like you can go to the pharmacy and get a 1% cortisone, or you
right.
can get some of the others. You don't need a doctor's prescription for that. But I think the regulation of them is unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. But as I said, the tax benefit is just astronomical.
Yeah.
It's just astronomical.
There's a lot to that aspect, too, in that the economy based upon marijuana, medical or even recreational in Colorado. There's four states, by the way, that it's acceptable recreationally, and
right.
I think there's 23 states in total that it's allowed, though many of those being medical only.
Right.
But it's a unique, when I say black market economy, these people aren't even allowed to have official bank accounts.
Right.
So it's very difficult to regulate. They walk around with bundles of cash, the growers, in the millions of dollars. They hire security guards to protect them.
Right.
And because federally...
And it's creating a very dangerous situation for them.
Yeah, federally it's illegal. State by state it's legal. I'm not sure how the medical finances is done. Probably now that it's legal, you probably can get some remuneration or backing from your doctor's office, but I don't know if it's covered by insurance or not. That I don't know.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Having said that, it's that's one aspect. Also, it hasn't eliminated the black market because people are going and recreationally vacationing to some of these sites where they can get the product.
Yes.
And
legally.
And, yes.
Legally,
yeah, legally, right. yes. And then I saw one TV show where they actually had the marijuana tour, and you toke up a joint as you're driving around, and it's considered.
Well, they do that in Amsterdam too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but also the black market people still exist because they're trying to sell underneath the cost of what it costs for the government because the government taxes. They even though it's less than what you had to pay before, it's still pretty hefty.
Yeah, but well, that's another issue with when you mentioned New York State before. How much influence did the major drug companies have in passing that legislation that it has to be taken as part of medication? It can't be smoked or anything like that. I don't have any statistics on that, but I'm willing to bet the pharmaceutical company had a big hand in that when they drew up the legislation for New York.
I'm sure, and I'm totally speaking out of school here, personal opinion, but as soon as the tobacco industry starts to fade and they need some other revenue, they're going to be in favor of the smoked version.
Absolutely.
And they're going to be the first ones geared up to produce it. Let's
Absolutely.
Not kid ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I've never smoked tobacco in my life, and a couple of years ago, I was in a store and some guy was buying a pack of cigarettes. He paid $8 for it, and I thought it was a carton of cigarettes. But he looked at me and said, no, it's for a pack of cigarettes. Who in God's name is going to spend $8 for a pack of cigarettes? I don't get that one either, you know?
Well, I do. It's someone who's addicted to nicotine.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
And doesn't want to wear a patch or doesn't want to get themselves off, et cetera. But I'm not a psychologist, but it seems right. to me sort of addictive personalities who find something to get addicted
yes,
to.
Yes, absolutely.
Anything to get addicted
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, when I was in college and after college, I mentioned before, I did smoke. And out of all my friends, I only know of one person that went on to heavier drugs out of all those dozens of people. So, yeah, absolutely. There are those people that it will be a gateway drug for them. But yeah. that's something that we have to deal with.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, even though I personally steer clear of it, I know many a successful business person, attorney, stockbroker, doctor, I can go on and on, who recreationally at night behind closed doors, they enjoy the pleasures of marijuana. But I'm not here to promote that. In fact, personally, if you want to talk to me, I tell you what I tell my kids, stay away from it, because I do believe that it, and I think there are some studies that it does affect memory, and there are some negative effects, like anything else, if you can avoid it, just like fats and sugars in your lifestyle.
Right.
If you can avoid it, you're better off. But right. for those that find benefit in it, why not?
Well, I had a friend who had glaucoma, and they told me that person was legally blind. But they told me that when they smoked, they could actually see the color of people's eyes, which they never could see before. And that was back in the 70s. So, you know, and the government, they also came out with a study in the late 60s saying that they had a study that found out that when men smoke marijuana, they develop female breasts. Now, when you start listening to things like that and you say to yourself, why in God's name would I listen to the government at all when they come up with something that ridiculous?
The government does whatever it needs to do to control its position in life like anything else. And the lobbyists, you're accurate. The lobbyists really have a major effect on what we finally get to accept or not accept as the public. In all your years of research, personal and with friends, have you heard any bad stories from marijuana?
No, not a one.
Not a one.
Not a one. Now, of course, because I stopped smoking years ago only because I still enjoyed it, but it dawned on me that when I was buying this stuff, the money was going to a cartel eventually. So I just said to myself, you know, I'm supporting drug dealers, and I really don't want to do that anymore. But once it becomes legal in New York State again, I have every intention of starting again.
Sure, sure. And again, this one Colorado study, probably the best one we have because it's a two-year study, they show that 41% of the school expulsions in Colorado were based upon some sort of drug problem. And marijuana became one of those issues which hadn't existed before.
Right. Well, again, it should not. I've seen studies where you're absolutely right with memory and things like that. The younger you are, the more it affects your memory. So it should be administered just like alcohol. No one under 21 should be allowed to purchase marijuana for recreational use.
Well, that's an interesting concept and probably an appropriate one, although that would be difficult to regulate also. But interestingly enough, the young brains are in a more developmental stage.
Absolutely.
We're losing cells on our own right now, Kevin, you and I just sitting here as we talk.
Tell me about it. I have senior moments every 20 minutes.
Yeah. Anyway, it's an interesting topic, and it's very timely. And again, these are the not my opinions or the opinions of this radio station, but it's here to stay as far as medical use. My prediction, it will expand over time and use in New York State because it appears that whatever system they've developed is going well. The doctors aren't complaining. The patients aren't complaining.
Right.
No one's complaining. Not to make light of it, but a former guest that I had that's an actual licensed marijuana grower said to me that it's interesting. I don't know what everyone's complaining about. He said most of the people on marijuana, if they're driving a car, regardless of the levels they're on, they're going too slow and they pull over and listen to music. So he said it's not like a drunk driver that's swerving and doing. I don't know if that's accurate. I really don't know.
It certainly, you shouldn't drive when you're under the influence of marijuana. Absolutely. Yep.
And that's a problem in regulation, too, because at least with alcohol, we sort of know what percents are per right. bottle or can, and we know how many you can take. Marijuana really varies from what I'm hearing, depending upon the strains and
yes,
the concentrations.
Absolutely. Maui, Wowie, Chiba, Chiba, that's what they used to call them when I was in my prime, you know.
All right. Well, hopefully we never revert back to the Cheech and Chong era where all the kids are running around with right. smoke blowing out of their cars and all this kind of inappropriate stuff. I really appreciate the fact that you came in here and gave us an open opinion as to what you think the right formula is and why it's important medically and what the future holds. You certainly don't shy from controversial subjects. We don't intend to on this show, as long as they're appropriate and as long as they're well handled. And all we can do is look forward to see what the future brings.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Doctor, give me the news. I got
him. You're listening to One-on-One Stories on 88.7 FM or WRHU.org. Please tweet me, your host, at Dr. Dr. Gregory Barroza, or contact me via oneononestories.com.